Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome. There, but this is great music by Alan James. If you haven't heard about him, you will. He is an amazing singer. And today, welcome to Books I Love, where we talk to published authors as well as to unpublished authors and also to wannabe authors. We also speak to readers and publishers and all other things related to the written word. So if you have a story to tell and you want to write it down in a book or an essay, you especially have come to the right place. If you've written a book and want to speak about it, this is it. If you read a book and want to either discuss it or speak with the author, you're in the right place. This is where the written word will survive and thrive, where the authors get a chance to speak and the readers get a chance to enjoy the written word, where publishers can find talent and display their found talent. Books are the treasure that give us new ideas, guide us when we're lost, and go through centuries of wisdom and entertainment. And I love books. But today, Emily Wallace is joining us. Emily is not only an author, she's a survivor and had the courage to tell her story. She's an advocate for the abused children and a powerful voice. Welcome to Books I Love here on Tippy Talk. Emily, I'm so lucky that you have decided to join us today.
Yes, I am. And I'm grateful to be able to join you guys today, too. And I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. I have been reading your book, and it is one of those books that I'm probably going to read through the night and not go to sleep until I'm done, because every chapter is more interesting than the one before. Every chapter makes you want to go on to the next chapter, and it's not like some kind of a made-up fiction story. This was your life story. That's what you wrote about, right?
Yes.
So, you go through something difficult, obviously, growing up. What motivated you? What actually made you want to sit down and write the story? Which, by the way, I'm sorry. But what was it that actually made you do it?
Well, you know, I have a husband. I'm happily married. I have 6 children. And when I first told my husband and my kids of what took place of my life, and my 14-year-old daughter, she said to me, she said, Mom, you should write a book because you can help a lot of kids that's going through something. They would love to hear your story, and they won't be afraid to speak out about abuse. So it was my daughter and then the rest of my kids to support saying that, yeah, Mama, you should write this book. I mean, it was hard. The very first book, my uncut version, was the hardest book that I had to write. I had to put, you know, every detail in the book. So I had to, like, go back. You know, I had to go back in time of what happened and think about it and, you know, and just put it on paper. But putting it on paper, it really helped me also.
Yes. It's must have been hard to go back because it was a lot of painful memories and a lot of pain that you went through. So it's probably kind of, in a way, you're reliving the situations again. So it must have been very, very hard. So what's interesting is you said that when you told them about it, so you mean when you got married and when your children were born, your husband and your kids didn't have a clue what you went through as a child?
No. I kept it in. I kept it in with my husband for 8 years.
What I did is I tried
to block it out and tried to make peace with my family, my sisters and brothers and my mother, just ignore what happened because I was afraid to even discuss it with anybody at one point. I didn't know what to do. I was having nightmares. I was thinking about stuff that happened, having flashbacks. I mean, it stays with a person for a very long time. It does. And
it's scarred for life.
Yes. Scarred for life, yes. And I got in this program once I wrote my book. I got in this program with Michigan Commission for the Blind because I'm blind. And my counselor read my book, and she said, when she read my book, she said, "Emily, this book, this story really needs to be told." And she said, "You should consider going around speaking with kids about child abuse and, you know, letting the word out." And so she read the book, and then she asked me, "Well, maybe you should see a psychologist." And the first time when she told me to see a psychologist, I was upset about it. I have to tell you, I was upset. I said, "Why does she say I need to see a psychologist?" I was saying, "I'm not crazy." And that's the first thing that a lot of people think when you say psychologist. But
right.
That's not true because I thought that, you know, she was saying like something was wrong with me. So I decided to go ahead and see the psychologist, and I got a lot out of that. A whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot. It helped me a lot. And I met with the psychologist, and she got to, you know, really talking with me. She said, "Well, you know, I'm going to read your book, listen to it online," because she was my psychologist was blind also, and she has a PhD. She is, you know, psychologist, and I'm like, when she read it and she came, you know, listened to it on tape, she came back to me and said, "Wow." And then she got to really speaking with me, and we, you know, having our section and back and forth, and she really helped me out. And she did say one thing to me. She said, "Well, Mrs. Wallace, you know," because I was still trying to make peace with my mother, try to find out why did you leave me. I mean, the only thing you can tell me is I was a very fast little girl. So my counselor told me, she said, "Mrs. Wallace, you have to let go."
Yes.
She said, "If your mother did not give anything about you when you was 11 years old and she left you abandoned, what makes you think she cares about you now and your young lady?" And when she told me that, I just was, wow. I was just so hurt behind it. But I was saying to myself, I thought about it, I said, she's 100% right.
Right. One of the things that we don't realize is that if your mother doesn't care about you, it doesn't say anything about you. As kids, we think it means there's something wrong with us. It doesn't say anything about you. It says everything about her. And somebody obviously had to point it out to you because it's a very typical thing that you did. You're still trying to pursue and to get your mother to love you, thinking that if she loves you, it'll fix something that was wrong with you. But there was nothing wrong with you to begin with. So there was nothing that needed fixing with you. You're not the one that did it. So I just want to mention to my listeners, if they don't know yet, we're talking to Emily Wallace about a book that she wrote called Scarred for Life, writing about her unbelievable abuse as a child and how she survived it. Personally, I don't know how you survived it. That's a miracle all by itself. But now what Emily has done is she's turned around and taken all her suffering and turned it into a gift that she packaged up in a book and gave back to the world so that maybe she can save some other kids from going through as much abuse as she went through. So that's why I think you're very courageous, Emily, and that's why I think taking a bad situation or a painful situation and turning it around and giving back the gift, such a beautiful gift that you're giving back, that makes you an amazing person. I know when I was looking at it and when I was thinking about talking to you that you're going to be on Oprah. I know that this is going to be huge, but it's not because of just the pain that you went through. A lot of people suffer. It's because you've taken that now and you've worked with it and you were willing to go see a psychiatrist and work about it, and now you're able to say, listen, this is happening. There are kids on the streets all the time, and so why don't we help them? Why don't we try to see if we can save some people from suffering? And I'll tell you the question that I actually was thinking about when you were just talking. You start chapter 6 with a question, and the question is, why don't people help other people when they need help? How would you answer
that? I don't know. I don't know, because I tried, and Tiffy, I have to tell you, I tried and I tried so much, and it's just, you know, I didn't get help. I mean, people would, like the elder lady, I can tell you a little something that happened to me while I was out there on the street. I slept up under the porch one day, and it was two older people, and it was a lady and a man, and I slept up under the porch, you know, like, it was a hole, like it had steps, but you can get in through the hole right there. And I slept there. I cried myself to sleep. I mean, I cried myself to sleep. And I woke up in the morning, and I heard the other kids. I mean, not the kids, I'm sorry. I heard the lady and the man talking, and I thought that they left the house. And the lady went outside, and I thought both of them left. So it was a little piece, a little board up under there where you can get into the house and lead to the kitchen. So I haven't eaten all night. So I went up under that, inside that board. I went in the kitchen, and I opened the refrigerator really quick. And I seen some bread and bologna. I took the bread and bologna, made a sandwich real quick. I made it real quick. I didn't put no mayonnaise, no ketchup, no mustard on it, because I was very, very hungry. So
right.
The next thing I know, I turned on the water fountain to get some water, because I'm eating the sandwich really quick and I'm thirsty. And the next thing I know, I heard a guy said, "What are you doing here?" Boy,
mm-hmm.
I was so scared and terrified. I didn't know, because I thought both of them was gone. And
right.
And to come to find out, I got to tell him. I said, "My mom left me. I don't have nowhere to go. I don't know what to do. I need somewhere to stay." And the next thing I know, his wife comes back into the house. So I guess she was just trying to, as I got older, she was getting the car to warm up. Okay?
Oh,
she comes
I see.
Back
uh-huh.
in the house, and when she first came in, she gave me an apple and a banana. She did do that. She gave me an apple and a banana, and I was so grateful to get it. And then her husband walked away while I was telling him I had nowhere to go, and she went behind him, and I'm standing in the kitchen, and I hear him say, "Well, she can't stay here." And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
wow. I'm just really stunned, because I'm saying, these are two adults. You know, and
mm-hmm.
I really think that elder lady wanted to help me, but her husband did not want to get involved. He did not want to help
right.
at all. So she,
right.
and I was so mad about it, she handed me an apple, another apple. She gave me an apple and a banana when she first came in. But when she gave me the other apple, I didn't even want it. I was that mad, you know, because she said she came
right.
to me and she said, "Well, my husband don't... my husband don't want you to stay here, but maybe, you know, you could take this apple and you could eat that. Now you have two apples." And I went on my way, but I was so mad. And I can't even tell you why a lot of people does not like helping. It's some out there that you know, helps, but it's some that's not. It's a lot of them that's not. And I didn't understand that. I was just really mad that whole day.
Yeah, of course.
I was really mad. But I was even mad.
Yeah. And that's part of the story, and that's in your book. I actually read it in one of the chapters, which is amazing that people that could help don't help. And I guess we don't have an answer to that. The only thing I could say is they just don't understand that when you help someone else, you're really helping yourself a lot more than you are helping someone else. That's the truth.
Funny.
But yeah, people don't understand that. But for a little child to go out there and still your spirit is like raging and saying, why do these people not help me? You're not afraid. You're not subdued. You don't walk around thinking I'm not worth it. You know, you're walking around saying, I need help, and these stupid people won't. Why won't they help? And you get upset. I think that shows your spirit.
I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. And for so long, I want the audience to know that I was 11 years old, and for so long, I thought it was something I did. You mentioned that earlier, Tiffany. And for so long, I thought it's something I did. I was wondering and thanking sin. I mean, just begging and pleading for my mother to come back and get me. What did I do? I'm sorry. It's just like a lot of people just, you know, not there, you know. And that's why I'm trying to get my message out as much as possible, because I don't want no child to go through what I've been through. I don't want no child to experience what I've been through. I want them to never be afraid to speak out about abuse, because there was a lot of abuse going on inside the home, and once my mother left me, it just got even worse.
Right. But it's interesting that you see everything falling apart and being abused from the time that they left you. But when you actually get into the story and when you read parts of the story, you actually realize that the abusive attitude was there even before you left, because one of the questions, you ask a lot of questions as you go through this journey, which I think is really helpful for the reader to understand what was going on in your mind. But one of the questions that you asked is, why doesn't she believe me? So you come to your mother and you tell her about something that you're being abused, or something that happened with your sister in the laundromat, or something that happened with your brother's friend, and you tell your mother and she says, you're lying. Why won't she believe me? That's a big question. That means the abuse started way before that day, for a long time, but you didn't know it, did you? You thought this was just life.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm just thinking, you know, every time my mother, I just think that my mother had 12 kids, and I'm the only one that she left me. I'm the only one, you know, that every time something happened or my sister do something, she always would, you know, take up for her over me. My sister that was 13 years old had contact lenses. I have very thick glasses. I mean, just different things. Or she had new clothes. I used to have to get clothes from a neighbor down the street. Used to, you know, give me something to put on that looked it right going to school with. I mean, it was just, you know, I never knew and why she felt that way about me. I never did anything to her. As I got older, I really think it was something with my dad, because my dad, my mother and my father was not together. They separated. And my mother had, you know, 4 different baby fathers. She had 12 kids. And, you know, it was something, I don't know. I just don't know. I ask myself every day, and I'm still going through it because I am scarred for life.
I want to tell you something about that question that might help you a little bit. Because I was a psych major, and one of the things I learned about abusers, and I had the same thing in my family. My mom had 8 kids, and she got married to a very abusive man who beat the crap out of one brother. Out of the 8 of us, he was the only one that ever got beat up every single day. He eventually died because of the injuries. But he never touched me. He was abusive to everybody, but he never touched anybody else. And I thought that was pretty unusual. But when I took a psychology class, it happens to be that abusers, they always pick one child. And it's usually the weakest one, usually a smart child, but a weak one. And that's the child that's going to get abused. It has nothing to do with that child. It has nothing to do with what you did or what you didn't do or what your father did. It has to do with the psychosis of abusers. And actually yesterday I was talking to a guy who told me, he's 27 now, and he told me when he was a child and he has 4 siblings, two brothers and two sisters. And in his family growing up, he was the only one that would get beat up all the time. In the middle of the night, if he complained, he got beat up. In the morning, he complained about beat up. If he didn't want to go to school, he got, and none of his sisters or brothers, they were all pampered as well. Nobody got beat up. So psychologically speaking, there's something about abusers that they pick one child out of everybody. So it's not something unusual for you. It just means that she was an abusing kind of person, and you're the lucky one that got her abused, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, my story, my life is really, I mean, it was ridiculous. But I took my negative and changed it into positive.
Exactly.
For myself, for my kids, for my husband. I mean, because like I said, I didn't tell my husband or my kids for 8 years before I even got married.
Wow.
I didn't even tell my husband when I got married. I didn't want him to, for so long, I did not want him to dislike, you know, my sisters, my brothers, my mother. I just wanted to be right. I wanted our relationship to be right, but it would never be right. It would never be right because my mother does not believe that she did anything wrong. My mother, you know, I don't have my children go around my mother because of my mother wants to tell the kids that, you know, I was a fast little girl. She couldn't control me. I was this and I was that. But it, when it's not, that's not a reason to leave an 11-year-old home.
Yeah. Even if it's true, you don't put an 11-year-old on the street because you can't discipline her, even if you are not disciplined. You probably were a very spirited child because you were smart and you knew that you were telling the truth and she wasn't listening. So, yeah, that's a natural reaction. But it doesn't matter what kind of a child you are at all. That's irrelevant. This is not acceptable. And if she doesn't have remorse about it, then obviously she has issues. And it's also very possible that she was abused as a child also.
You know what? I don't know. I don't think she was. I just think that, you know, just me knowing, you know, my grandmother, and I never heard, you know, that she was abused, you know, as a child or anything. But I just think, to be honest with you, my mother was trying to protect my two oldest brothers. That's what she was doing. One was 19 and one was 18, and she was trying to protect them because they was molesting me in the home, and my mother didn't want to believe that, but she had to believe something because she up and just left me, and probably like about when my mother left me, my mother lost another child. My two brothers started molesting my other sister. And my mother lost that child to the state of Michigan. She went to the school and told her teacher. And so my mother lost that child to the state. But, you know, it's just, you know, I can't, a parent is supposed to protect their child. Don't matter what. I mean, if she thought that, if she thought that I wasn't telling the truth or how she thought that I wasn't, she should have still, you know, found out about asking my brothers. She didn't do none of that. She didn't ask none of my brothers. Then she just immediately saying that I'm not telling the truth. And the only reason she can give me today is that, well, you was too fast. You was a fast little girl and this and that. But I can't even imagine leaving my 27-year-old, 28-year-old behind and come home from school and don't have nowhere to go. I have a history of seizures. I don't have my glasses because of the school used to pay for my glasses. So they used to have me pick up my glasses every morning in the office, and then I have to drop them back off before I go home because my glasses kept getting broken at home. So the school decided, hey, we'll pay for them, but they have to stay in school. So I have to pick them up in the morning and drop them back off when the school dismissed. So I didn't even have my glasses when I was out there on the street. And my mother was aware of that. Didn't have no glasses, hard to see. and you know, just walking the streets, and on top of it, I had a history of seizures. I mean, what type of, you know, I just don't understand, how can she leave me behind like that? I mean,
That's definitely not what your story about. It's a story of survival. It's a story of how you went through the day-by-day experience. And, yes, you had to deal with the abandonment, but all those things that you went through didn't make you a bad person. And I think that's really the bottom line. That's the most important lesson from this. It didn't make you a bad person. It didn't make you identify with the abusers and become an abuser. It actually made you identify and say, wait a minute, this is not right. And that was without any guidance, without any psychologist, without any psychiatrist. You already instinctively knew that. So I find that usually kids have strong moral values and thrown into an immoral environment, they're abused by the immoral people because they can't stand your innocence. That happens a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really glad you put it into a story. I'm halfway through. I'm definitely going to finish reading the whole story. I really recommend everybody to pick up this book because it is a book that is testament to the human spirit, to the ability to survive in spite of everything. And yes, you suffered a lot, but a big part of your suffering was feeling that there was something wrong with you, as if you did something wrong. But years later, you finally realized that it had nothing to do with what you did. So I think that's that's really the most important thing here, the realization.
Yes, and just to spread the word and try to, you know, help other kids. That's my message, just to help other kids to never be afraid to speak out, because I was. That's, you know, but I finally, you know, it took me over 20 years to be able to speak out about my story, to tell my story of what happened and everything. So, you know, never be afraid just to speak out.
Right. So basically that's the message. Your message is never be afraid, speak out. And the fact that it took you a long time to speak out, that it takes a while to sort out why it happened, what happened, and how you really lived through it. And going through back is very, very courageous. So what's your message right now? We're coming towards the end of our time here, and I want to know, what is your message now to the world, now that you have put it on paper?
I didn't hear you say, what is my message?
What is your message? What would you like people to know?
Well, I would like for kids to, like I said, you know, never be afraid to speak out about abuse. Mm-hmm. And I would like to, tell any kid out there, my name is Emily Wallace, and I am an author of a book called Scarred for Life. If there's any child out there who would like to read my clean version, they could email me at author, A-U-T-H-O-R, Tina, T-I-N-A, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, at gmail.com. Send me an email with an address, and I will send you a book that you can read, and I will sign it. I really want this message to get out with kids. But I ask kids, if you're not going to read it, do not have me send it to you, because I paid for the book. So I just want this message to get out to these kids.
Okay,
and
so
I just,
the website is author.
Tina,
the website?
Smith. No,
Tina?
That's my email. That's my email address.
Okay, author.
Tina Smith.
Tina?
Tina Smith.
Smith at?
Gmail.
At? Gmail.com. I'm gonna post this down right here below where we speak. If you go on the internet and click onto the link of Books I Love, and you look for this episode with Emily Wallace on the book Squad for Life, you will find the links to the email. And also, if you have any other links to any other websites or anything like that, send it to me, and I will post it right under here so that people can actually, just as they're listening to us, they can click on it.
Okay. So, and also I have a, like I said, I have an uncut version and a clean version. The clean version is under Tina Smith. That's a pen name. And my uncut version is under Emily Wallace Start to Life.
Okay. So Emily Wallace is the uncut version.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clean version is under Tina Smith.
Yes.
Awesome. That sounds really great. That's wonderful. So I totally recommend this book. It is not, it's a very touching story, and it's a very, it's just unbelievable what you survived right here in the United States, in our streets, which nobody knows about, everybody ignores, and everybody goes on running around living their life when there is pain going around them. And so I think the message is open your eyes, look around you. If you see anybody that needs help, especially a child, don't just walk away. Do something. If you cannot have them stay with you, then make sure they have another place to stay. But just walking away, that's just not right, because you're responsible for that child's life if you're not paying attention. And if a child is going through abuse, if a child is going through abuse, also, if you can reach that child and tell him, don't be silent for 20 years. Speak out now. That's also really important.
Yes, that's very, very important. And never be afraid to go to authorities to get help, because you can get help. It is help out there. But Mrs. Wallace did not know that at the time, and I was so young and so afraid, and that's why I didn't get help. And a lot of people ask me that question, but the reason why I did not get help, because I did not know what to do, which way to turn, and where to go to.
And you were afraid. And rejected. If you would have known what to do, you wouldn't be 11 years old. You know,
right.
Clueless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what do you expect an 11-year-old to do? Like, oh my God, my mommy's not here. I don't know. Nobody trained you. That's like a silly question. Like, why didn't you go to the police? What if the police arrest you? How do you know what they're going to do? You don't know.
And then once I'd been out there for a minute, I really was, really scared, and at that time, once I got out there for so long, I'm saying, I don't know what can happen, because people was telling me, well, you're going to go to jail, and for so long, I'm thinking, it's something I did. What did I do, for a parent, for a mother to a child behind, So.
Exactly. So it's like I said, it's even amazing that with all that abuse, you did end up normal, married, with children. You were able to still love. That your life was not sucked out of you. Your life actually has been vibrant and loving and committed. And that is the testament to the human spirit.
Yeah. But you know what, Tiffany? Before I told my husband, I was a very snappy person. I was, I was mean. I have to tell you. I, had an attitude problem. But, that's why I say it's really best to not to hold it in, and best to get help. Because I didn't want to, I didn't want to take it out on my husband and my kids, what I experienced. And that's why I got help.
Right. Well, obviously, to some level, it must have gotten to you on so many psychological levels that if you weren't snappy and if you were still a perfect little angel, then you wouldn't be normal. It just wouldn't make any sense. Something had to give inside of you. You're feeling bad, you're going to act out. That's like no-brainer. Of course, you're not going to be. Inside, you feel bad. Outside, you're gonna show it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And so, time flies when you're having fun, and the time has come and to the end of this half hour. And I'm really, really glad that you were able to talk about it. I definitely want to hear more about you and where you're going from here. Just go read the story if you want to hear more. If you have any questions and you really need to talk to Emily Wallace, I will make sure that you do. She actually is going to post her email right here, so you can get in touch with her directly. very, very happy again. I have not been so touched by a book in a very long time. This I think, is one of the most important stories I've read this year. And so thank you so much. And we have come to the end of our time together here on Clipper Talk. It's been wonderful chatting with you, Emily Wallace, today. And thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to... Yes, Emily, go ahead.
And I just want to say thank you again for letting me be able to speak out with my story and to tell my story. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. And I want you to know, Tiffany, that while I'm speaking with you, I'm getting counseling. Every time I tell my story, it's helping Mrs. Wallace. I want you to know that. And I just want to say thank you, and I'm grateful.
And I will do everything in my power to make sure that your story is heard worldwide. So anytime that you need anything, anytime that there's anything that you think anybody can do, reach out. Don't be afraid. Just call on us, and we are always will be here to definitely make sure that everybody gets out further and further and wider as much as it can. Thank you so much for sharing. We bid you a journey, and we let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, talking today to Emily Wallace, author of the book Scarred Life. Check it out.
Been running through me like you got somewhere. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast, chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just and I say it like it's my mantra.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
Five seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer. Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee is America's iced coffee. It's rich, smooth, always freshly brewed. Dunkin' has all the flavors you love. Also available in butter pecan and new coconut cream pie iced coffee flavors. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts new fruited iced teas are made with real fruit juice and fruit pieces. Try a mango, pineapple, or blackberry today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.